Blog Talk Radio.
To the children and families. It's a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to introduce to you Ms. Carol Rose.
Thank you. My purpose today is not to dazzle you with my oratorical brilliance and skills. I merely want to say that I came to the 37th Circuit Family Court to make a difference. I was well qualified and hoped to be able to help Michigan families of divorce and separation, but early on I realized that the system was not designed to be child-friendly. No friendship nor honest conciliation were ever allowed in the family justice system between caseworkers and clients. It was all about money. How to get the federal and state tax dollars that were allotted each case for enforcement. In fact, our director would say regularly, we aren't the friend of the family, we're the friend of the court. We stumbled over ourselves trying to get more Title IV-D cases on our records and to increase the child support orders because the federal government granted huge allotments for each case we enforced. In the years I worked in the system, I witnessed regular deception to clients that was mandated by office policy. I saw gender bias and discrimination. I saw records destroyed. I saw office policies and rules change from week to week for the profit of the agency. I saw hundreds of pleas for parenting time or enforcement get buried because there is no money in enforcing custody or visitation issues. Increasing the child support money that came into our offices was the goal for each of us. We were rated according to how much money we brought in through asset seizures, income garnishment, court hearings, warrant issue. We wrote the orders and then we enforced them. The judge merely rubber stamped our efforts. My director proudly told me that the Child Support Enforcement Agency was the darling of the circuit court and that we actually made money for the judge and the court. Unlike the sheriff's department and so many other, our county or state was not an exception to the rule. We were one of the most successful counties, and we shared training with other counties and states so they could learn how to maximize their efforts toward increased collection. We were not only told to withhold information, forms, policies, laws, and statutes from our clients with questions, but we were forbidden to help them obtain legal relief from unfair situations beyond their control. We were instructed to quickly help those who were demanding increases in child support, but we were threatened with losing our jobs if we should breathe a word to encourage an injured or unemployed payer to petition for a reduction of any kind. For the years that I worked in the system, I put my job on the line whenever I helped any of the parties in trouble. We were not to get personally involved. Nothing to do with that. I was derisively accused of wasting my time being a social worker. We worked closely with Child Protective Services and Family Independence Agencies, and they were the same way. No one wanted to improve services or hear about abuses within the system because every worker in these huge bureaucracies was trying to keep his or her job by covering up any errors or problems. I had six secretaries underneath me, unlimited power in my 401k and my office to lose if I should rock the boat. But rock the boat I did when I wrote the book Friend of the Court, Enemy of the Family. Families that were bleeding from the pain of divorce and separation were insulted, tricked, lied to, and deceived by persons without adequate training to be making those kind of judgment calls. Most of the custody determinations were made by unwed, childless individuals who were totally unqualified to hold the lives of so many in their hands. The determinations were made on the basis of the most child support that could be ordered for each case.
Yeah.
Fathers or non-custodial parents were stereotyped as payers only. The court and most caseworkers felt that fathers were unnecessary and possibly dangerous for the children to have contact with. The child support system is an adversarial system. It encourages parental alienation and court battles. Children are pawns in an expensive and elaborate game of winner versus loser. Attorneys coming into the picture further divide the already fractured family and insulate the parents from communicating with each other. Usually after attorneys and agencies become involved, new and creative charges of abuse, neglect, and addiction enter the picture. Many times, these are convenient charges against innocent family members guilty of parents even after the partner left. I heard many unwed fathers tell me that they begged the mothers of their children to marry them, but that the mothers were unwilling to give up the welfare check in exchange for a husband and father in the home. The most outdated picture of the father leaving the mom and kids to run off with his secretary is all but a thing of the past. In Southwest Michigan, 98% of the divorces are initiated by mothers and unwanted by the father. These aren't abusive fathers either. Equal parenting is not a men's issue. I was a single mother for most of my children's lives, and I know what children need most is the love and balance two fit parents can give them. Money can never make up for the loss of a parent. Divorce or separation should not be the reason some kids will never get to know one important part of themselves. Equal parenting does not do away with child support. Child support takes on a whole new dimension for children with two loving parents instead of just one. I am humble as I stand in the shadows of one of our greatest founding fathers. Here in this place, another great father, Martin Luther King, announced to the world that he had a dream. Well, Mahatma Gandhi told us that we must be the change that we want to see in the world. Are you willing to be that kind of change? Yeah. Thomas Jefferson said that we only have the rights we're willing to fight for. Our Constitution gives all the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But for some children, the right to have two loving and involved parents in their lives has been usurped by the courts. Courts rule according to precedent, and the precedent has been biased against one parent in the past, branding him or her the non-custodial parent, which in itself is an insult. Equal parenting by two fit and willing parents is what our courts and agencies must go back to believing in. Laws and fiscal policies must not facilitate conflict and adversarial relationships between parents. It's only a matter of time before the civil rights of families will be restored in the courtrooms of our nation. Thank you.
Yes, in this episode of the Child Support Hustle, me and Drew D, we have Michael Brown Roberts. Mr. Roberts said he has a personal horror story about Alabama DHR and how they do business. There's a case also in Huntsville, Alabama, that shines a light on how they do business, which I cover in my upcoming book, being written with N.K. Clark. That's the pseudonym for Kenya Rockman. And together we come along with a book called I'm Still Here, The Marcus Eccles Story. I'm going to share my story through a book because it's one of the most solid cases of corruption and just right out theft and attempted murder by DHR, you know. So we got to look at this on how the system does a person and family as a whole. Okay, so Mr. Roberts, how's it going?
Well, it's going good, Marcus. I appreciate you and the previous speaker. She said something very unique. Deceiving.
Uh-huh.
Adversarial.
Yeah. Yes.
All of us that deal with society in general and everything, and personally to me, we deal with the devil when we talk to DHR. They are deceiving. They will violate your constitutional rights. They will lie until you find out the truth. On March the 19th, 2008, social worker, which I can't mention her name. There's a lot of times I can mention the judge's name and I can mention the county where this happened or where something happens. But any other names I can't mention until you get above county level. That's all.
Okay, Jensen. Okay, but just for disclosure purposes with the show, we're not responsible for it. The guests are free to say whatever they want to say. They got their freedom of speech. We just don't agree or disagree with what the guest is saying, but he's welcome to say whatever he wants to say. Okay, go ahead.
I understand. The reason I'm doing this this way is this way it doesn't affect my family. Okay, so don't be fooled. What you say can affect your family in these courts. And for a long time. So you have to be careful about what you're saying about these people.
Yeah, you gotta do that because even now in some cases they're trying to say if you're speaking up about your rights on social media that could be a form of harassment. So you can't even talk about it. If you got a case where you got injustice going on And you can't even mention it and talk about it to try to get support because now they're trying to classify that as some type of harassment. See, they don't want any talk to go on about what's really going on.
And they'll say you have no rights as a grandparent. Let me correct that. As an American citizen, you have First Amendment rights to speak freely. There's also a second section to that. You have the right, obligated as an American citizen, to report any injustice to officials.
Absolutely.
That is something they don't mention. And the reason they don't mention it is to keep our politicians' hands not so tied up. They have to answer those complaints. So that's something you can, as a parent, as a grandparent, whenever you see injustice, either done to your fellow man or to a family member or whatever, you can write the official responsible in that area and tell them this is going on. And I encourage you to do that if you discover it. Anyway, as the social worker discussed, we had been out on a little trip with my grandson, and he was about 2 years old, and he was dancing in the car, and I was waiting on his parents, and he had to go to the restroom. So I figured, well, I got a 44-ounce cup back here from when I traveled. I travel out of state all the time, and I'm out of state right now. So I let the younger tinkle in the cup. We got finished up, went to have a family dinner, and that had taken place about 3 years before 2009. As the social worker continued on, she said that I had touched him and fondled him inappropriately and taught him how to tinkle in public. This was the complaint she had against me, and I explained it just as I'm explaining it over the radio now. I said, no, I said, if anybody was to touch my grandson inappropriately, me being a professional soldier, I'd kill him. That'd be my first response. My second response is to follow my civic duty, is to report it. Okay, so anyway, she said, got on the phone, called me back later, and this went on for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and finally she called back and said, well, we're just going to go ahead and drop this and consider the case closed. That was in 2009. In 2012, I was sitting in a family plan meeting with DHR. A lot of things had developed, and they had actually developed from me reporting inappropriate use of DHR to a family in Florida. So I was placed on a list abusing children in Jefferson County, Alabama. I'm still on that list. I will remain on that list until the state government removes me from it. I'm not touching it. So because I reported...
And this is without being charged for any wrongdoing or anything?
Without being charged, this is without any kind of formal investigation. And what happens in situations like this, and some women and some men actually do this, they'll call in a complaint, and until that child is the age of 28, you will be on this registry, and it is secret until it goes before a judge.
Wow.
And if unfortunate enough to go in there and before a judge and got two or three of these little complaints back there, or even, you know, a history like that, you're going to prison. Even though you're innocent, you're going to prison because you're a second or third time offender of abusing children, whether it's sexual or physical. So this is the purpose of DHR. They will hold secret registries against people. And that's not just in Alabama. This is national. This is not just an Alabama problem. This is national. Okay. Recently, my niece graduated, and her degree is in social work. And her reply was, this is the most corrupt system I've ever seen in my studies. So she had to do a tenure here with DHR Alabama. A senator from Georgia did a report, and she stated, adjacent and adjoining to the state of Georgia, is the worst contentious state as far as family protection. Children are actually endangered within their system. Crimes are committed against children and parents, and it goes unreported. That was Senator Nancy Schaefer. She died in 2010 of a murder-suicide with her husband. And if you look at it on the internet and some of the reports on the autopsies, they were shot in the heart. Well, it couldn't be murder-suicide because there's no burn marks on the bodies or the clothes. Don't know, but that's the final determination. I spent $65,000 defending my daughter against drug addiction in the family court of Alabama. We went to two trials. After Judge Minor did the final trial, we filed for appeal again. And as the appeal was going through, I talked with the attorney that I'd hired. And I looked at him, and this was the third attorney I'd hired. His fee was $529 an hour. So every hour he spent on this case cost me $529. The appeal was blocked by Luther Strange, evidently because of the Christmas holidays and everything. At the time of the filing, they blocked it. So Luther Strange and Sharon Fouquet filed a Rule 52 agreement. In the Rule 52 agreement, it stated about my daughter failing to attend her drug treatment hearing, drug treatment program, and failing for visitation. What's not mentioned in either the trial or the visitation, about the visitation, was two of her children had been adopted away. And they had been in adoption for over 2 years until the first trial's reversal came back. Upon the first trial's reversal, they were turned over to the other grandparents who were from Flint, Michigan. And the children were moved up there. But in the interim, inexperienced social workers had moved in on the case. They didn't know a lot about the background. That day, they had opened the files. And the social worker come to me and my daughter and my wife, and they said, well, the two youngest ones were involved in a situation where the foster parent's son was having sexual relationships with the girls that were living there in the home or being taken care of while he was sitting with them. Your grandchildren weren't involved. But another child that was similar in age, and we did two things. It says, your children being beaten up and thrown in a closet by this young man. He says, the other little girl was caught physically by the social worker in sexual congress with a young man. Their determination was he was roughhousing with my babies. And with whoever baby that little girl was, they were both similar of age, and there was consensual sex between minors. I don't know about you guys, but I've been a resident here in Alabama, and I know if 17-year-olds has consensual sex with another 17-year-old, most parents are going to start hollering statutory rape.
Absolutely.
It's the age of the girl, and it's going to depend on the age of the boy. But being as the child didn't have a parent that was readily notified, they probably kept it under wraps. It took me 2 years to find this out. Even with an attorney at $500 an hour, it still took me 2 years to find out what they'd done. Anyway, on the final trial in the Rule 52, when Luther Strange explained that my daughter had failed to visit with all four of her children. And then I go back to the history of the trial, and so much was not said. Children were mentally tortured. The two oldest were mentally tortured for over 2 years, telling them their mother was a prostitute, and they were every 2 weeks had to force them to go to Backpage and search for their mother's prostitution advertisement. Well, prostitution advertisement, when they showed it to me, was printed in landscape. If you're familiar with internet prints in portrait. Don't print in landscape. And they showed me the instant message between her and one of her Johns. And I thought, gee, this is kind of interesting because they've done this to me before, and one hand's not watching what the other hand's doing. Be intelligent about the paperwork you look at. Backpage has no instant message capability. They have no chat room capability. It is solely a little rental spot, just like Craigslist or whatever, for people to advertise. Unfortunately, adult advertisements are there, but they have a restrictive page you have to bypass to go there. It warns you that you're at a porn site. So the state openly allowed the foster parents that kept these kids to mate them through those ads with girl on girl, guy on guy, or whatever the pictures they saw are pretty rough if you go to Backpage Adult and Escorts. Things get rough, even to the point of different sexual lifestyles. So don't trust these people. If your ex-husband or your boyfriend's not paying your child support right, I tell you, there is a percentage fee on every $100 they collect. Child protection and child support collection is a big revenue producer for the state. They get dollar-for-dollar exchange under the Social Security Act, and they also get money for every service they provide through the federal government.
Hey, let me throw something at you. I think it's more than dollar for dollar. I think the last figure I had heard was in most cases, it's 5-1.
It may be. It may be. I haven't gone back to the Social Security site for a while and checked it. But creation of
like
situation where parents are drug addicted, they get a higher payment. Okay? If we want to talk exact numbers, I'd have to get in the computer and look. But they get a higher payment for children of a drug addicted parents. At the end of
Let me come in and tell you something here. You hit the nail on the head when you said that, because why else would a county or city like over in Huntsville allow a woman to have 2 chemical endangerment charges and she never spend no more than 5 hours in jail? And so they get that extra money and they can put her into a rehab program. This stuff is all about getting money for programs and double charging the federal government. You have these local, local and state organizations open up everything just to get this extra money and extra funding.
Okay, when you talk this thing and you talk about child protection, I want to try to do the acronyms. You have the SSA, the Social Security System. Okay, the Social Security Act. There's 21 titles under that. You need to look at these titles. The next thing you've got is the ADA. This is important because if you're involved with ADA, you are a target for the social workers. Whether your husband beat you, whether you had your leg cut off in an industrial accident, or whether you're an MS patient and you've developed MS in your adult life, you have just targeted your family for social services. Okay. The last one is CAPTA. That's what we're all dealing with. CAPTA. That's child protection. Okay. CAPTA authorizes and gives breaks to certain people. If you're injured, you fall under disability, and you have certain rights in that court. These judges do not follow those rights. They have but one right. For the sake of the child, and if they can develop whatever they do, for the sake of the child, you've got no rights. So if you take your Constitution and throw it out the door, okay, they will override these rights until they are caught. And once you start catching them, then they start backing away. If they have an idea that you're knowing what you're talking about, cover it.
Mr. Robert,
cover it.
I want to clarify that. So what you're presenting or insinuating is that Child Protective Services and the Child Support Agency is in cahoots with each other to generate.
They're all the same group. That child support collection is a department of DHR. It belongs to the state. Okay, it's a revenue producing department. Just as Child Protection Services is. To give you an idea, under the Social Security Act, under Title IV, attorneys in Alabama received $509 million in 2013 for GAL contracts. This is guardian ad litem, which represents the child.
Yeah, if the Child Support Agency is working with Child Services, and if Child Services actually say build a case against a parent or grandparent, they actually can bill more for services to the government?
Yeah, by having them in all these programs. If you can't believe it, go over and look in Huntsville, Alabama on Oakwood University. They just went up with a multi-million dollar building, you know, DHR, because this thing is generating so much money. That's why you see an insatiable hunger to get it. Now, let's not neglect, before y'all get back to the point, let's not neglect the people who are caught up in contempt. If they can't wrangle that money out of you and get your kids away from you and into some type of program, their last resort is to lock you up in jail and then get $200 a day just for you being there from the federal government. So they got you linked in to a money-making scheme all the way around. I just want to put that out there. Go ahead.
My daughter, that was one thing they did for sure when she was getting money from her paycheck. They manipulated the program to where, at the time they took her into the courtroom, the balance on child support collection for the third quarter of 2012, her balance was zero. Now, the money was coming out of her check after the court order. So, I paid $500 up front in August of 2012 to get her out of jail. The following quarter, her child support collection was $500 ahead. What had happened was she was being brought before the judge on the beginning of the fourth quarter. The third quarter report had zero. Even though they had started collecting in the third quarter, it closed at the beginning. That was your third quarter fiscal year report. In October, she's still $500 ahead at the close of the fourth quarter. So they put her in jail for a week to make her do more child support. Now let me close with this. And
that's what it is. It's extortion.
Don't interrupt now. Let me close with this. This is a paperwork war. Collect every document you can from these people. You will lose if you don't. Read every document closely. Sometimes they do not even read their own documentation. Mrs. Fiquet and Luther Strange did not read their documentation. Page 315 or page 310 to 315 of the record of the first trial, remember I said this was the appeal, second trial, states clearly that my daughter's hair follicle test was negative. This was New Pathways who did her hair follicle test. They also did a physical check and a mental check along with the hair follicle test. Everything was clean and clear. No red flags on her pharmaceutical background. She got her medications from Medicaid. When she was asked earlier before they removed her children from home, they asked her, what's your drug of choice? She said, well, I'm prescribed Lortab. Why are you prescribed that? Because I have a birth defect. I do not have a hip. Well, this is what was happening. This is the reason she was claimed to be opiate addicted. They removed her four children, ages 1 to 13, from the home. They brainwashed the two eldest children using pornographic materials to convince them their mother was a prostitute and a drug addict. At the close of Luther Strange's Rule 52, she lost her rights to those two children and they were adopted away. The final IST report with DHR Alabama states clearly that the reason DHR is involved with your family, cause the hair follicle test was positive. The court record shows the same hair follicle test was negative. First appeal, they removed those pages, 310 through 315. Sharon Fiquette was not too happy when I reported this to her. To date, they've never told me to shut up. Some people, they've told the gag. When you pull your First Amendment out, and as I discussed earlier, you do have the freedom of speech, and you do have the right to report any injustice. Furthermore, when it involves a crime, it has no legal protection. Has no legal protection. These people wait till the statute of limits have expired. They prey on that. Statute of limitations, SOL. Well, the SOL's expired. We can't do nothing. Well, they're right. Don't fool yourself. At the time these people make a decision, you have this limit to get somebody in. 14 days. And dealing with family court, I found out you have a lot more rights with low income than you do upper income. Okay?
Tell us about
low income people get your records free. If I have over $12,000 or $13,000 income, those same records are $3,500. So you have to be extremely careful dealing with these people. It is a revenue-producing system. And the attorneys and everybody involved politically, this is what helps their budget. This is where these funds come from, and it rolls back and forth. It funds the courts, and it's all funded out of Titles 4 and 5 of the Social Security Act. We need to get them out of our Social Security. This is what's draining our programs. And if you're an American citizen, write your representative or whoever and tell them to get these titles that do not belong to the elderly or disabled out of the Social Security programs. But this is what's draining Social Security. This is what's hurting the country. It's called corruption. And I don't care whether it's in your church, but some of the churches are corrupt, or your local government. We've got to get the corruption out of the system. We've got to get the truth back out of the system. Because if the government operates the way our president says, I cannot tell a lie, I chop down the tree, Dad. Then a lot of the United States problems clear up. I hope
the more people like you that
speak out is help bringing a lot of attention to this. And there's also a march in January for family law reform in Washington D.C. I want everybody to check that out, find out more information about that. It's time for reform though, but let's go back and look at what happened. When you talk about some of the things the courts do, this is all the game they played with you by putting that in the record, taking it out, putting it back in when they knew it, you know, wasn't true and all this kind of stuff.
They'll play the HIPAA game with you. Okay, if they claim HIPAA rights and it's compliant with the legal codes that they crime, there is no HIPAA protection.
Mm-hmm.
But they prey on your lack of knowledge. That's what they prey on. And they'll deal with you and talk with you until they get an idea of what you've got of basic knowledge.
Yeah.
The more you talk to them, the more they learn. When they figure they can snowball you, guess what? That snowball is going to be 60 or 70 pounds. It's not going to be a handful.
You're right about that.
And they're going to splatter your sight.
Yeah.
My daughter was playing, but now she's manic depressive and bipolar by her doctor's prescription. However, 2 or 3 years, 2012, she was normal.
This is what happens to you in the child support system. If you're the non-custodial parent, I don't care if the other parent has the child, I don't care if the state is taking the child, they're going to keep on from now on running you into the ground where you can't fight back. You know, they're going to take you through all these different changes, just like we just had this guy, this lunatic in Texas who killed the cop because of some stuff he was going through family court. He couldn't see his child and all this kind of stuff. They're driving people basically, you know, mad and making them have nervous breakdowns, making them have physical problems, heart attacks, suicides. We have all of this stuff rising in these family courts, all because of a group of very greedy and corrupt people.
Well, I'm 62 years old. I've been around a while. And like I said, I had a quite a career with the military. But in 1993, the Amtrak derailed in Mobile. A decorated medical technician saved many people in the war that were in trouble. He suffered PTSD from his military service, and he suffered from PTSD from all of the other people in the accident. His wife divorced him, and she moved back home to Mississippi. She took the kids. And when he brought his family from visitation back to Mobile, she issued a child kidnapping order to the family courts in Mississippi. He was tried for kidnapping and convicted. And
wow.
He was placed in prison. The name's going to shock you, and you can look on his background and everything. He was executed because while he was in prison, he killed the police in Tuscaloosa, and he killed the police in Mobile, Alabama. His name was Mario Centeno. Convicted and executed, he was killed. I don't condone what he did.
I don't condone the violence either, but we don't want to ever condone anyone going out on acts like that, but I can very well identify with the horror they put you through. Some of these courts will act like you have a mental problem if you care a lot about your kids. Once they take your kids, if they see you distraught, if you break down crying in front of them, or if you just tell them how this is hurting you, they look at you like you're crazy. Like you shouldn't even feel this way towards your children.
This is what will drive
somebody to doing something violent.
If you stay silent, you act like a normal person in their presence and in their court. And you go, well, I've got to like not say that. Hold back. Guess what? You're indifferent. You're apathetic on what we're trying to do. You're still all for your children. So it's a double-edged sword what you said in front of me.
Yeah, I'm right about that.
Now, one thing they'll say is sleep. Another day they'll say it's common, and they'll continue to twist that truth rope till it's found. So,
let's get Drew in here before we wrap this thing up. Drew, what's your opinion on that? The type of mental anguish that the courts sometimes put the non-custodial through. How do you see that as causing other disorders in the non-custodial or alienated parent?
Well, you got to look at it like this, right? You have a lot of situations that the non-custodial parent is put in, like financial. You got emotional state, you know, your children taken from you. And you got to expect people to act out on that. You can't expect to sit people down to nothing, treat them like second-class citizens, and strip all their rights away, and expect them to just pretty much be okay with that. So what you're seeing now, you're seeing a lot of people who are being violated, and they're acting out. And family court is the main reason why you got a lot of violence happening because of child support and family courts. It's the reason why you have a lot of non-custodial parents who are committing suicide. And you even have it's a lot of articles popping up now that even where you have in custody battles, parents actually killing their children. So, you know, America got to take a serious look at this thing called family court and child support because it's really ruining people's lives. And you can't fault anybody of how they're going to react in an extreme situation.
Well, yeah. This is no lie. The system's got a double-edged sword. Social workers have a legal right to lie. So this is what you face when you go before these people, whether you're in a divorce situation or what, they have a legal right as the plaintiff to lie in court.
Yes, and with that, we're going to keep on talking, but the show will be ending in just a few minutes. It was great having you on, Mr. Roberts, and I hope to have you come back. Like I said, we need more talk about what's going on with this issue. We need more coming together, spreading the word, trying to organize so we can bring some sense to this where someone would want to look at all, like you said, all these titles up under the Social Security Administration.
We don't need to do this just as Americans. We need to this as Christians.
That's true.
We have an obligation right as our Savior to take care of the disabled, the widowed, and children.
I just want to push in Equal Partners in Conception Bill. We need to take this thing all the way back to conception because a man or a woman cannot conceive alone. So while deep on into this situation, somebody gets the short hand. That's just not right. We need some gender equality when it comes to conception issues. That's one of the biggest problems. And if we get the equality.
Well, the important issue that really we need to do primarily as Americans is protect our inalienable rights we are provided. Look closely
exactly.
At what you're
doing. We need to march on Washington. March on Washington, I think. Until we march on Washington, people are not going to take the movement through.
That's true.
Just like I said, they can't hide it if they tell the truth.
The child.
And if you bring them to the light, that's what has to be done.
The Child Support Hustle Show, Saturdays from 5 to 7. With co-hosts Drew D and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Bringing voices to power. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com.
Don't forget to check out the Child Support Hustle at thechildsupporthustle.com.